بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله الطاهرين الطيبين. السلام عليكم dear brothers and sisters. We hope that all of you and all of us on this day have been able to be one of those who is fasting and is able to benefit from the blessing of fast, and be one of those who is truly fasting, as we had in the first dua. On the sixth day of the month of Ramadan, the Ahlul Bayt have taught us to recite this dua, and hopefully we get a better understanding of it here, and we ask through this dua what the Ahlul Bayt have taught us to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It reads, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma la takhzulni fihi lita'arrudhi ma'asiyatik wa la tadribni بسياط نقمتك وزحزحني فيه من موجبات سخطك بمنك وأياديك يا منتهى رغبة الراغبين. It's a very beautiful dua, especially the ending of it, a bit different than some of the previous ones. We'll get to that inshallah. We start this dua in this way. We're asking, oh Allah, la takhzulni. The previous duas usually started with asking God for something. Here we're asking Him not to do something. What are we asking Him not to do? Allahumma la takhzulni fi lita'arrudhi ma'asiyatik. Don't leave me alone so that I engage in your disobedience. Right? This is a very important dua. First thing that we need to make note of is the importance of giving it everything we have to avoid disobedience of the Divine. Starting with muharramat, haram things. We have to go and figure out what muharramat are, and we should seriously try to avoid them, especially in the month of Ramadan. If we can, by the grace of God, by His divine help and mercy, if we are able to start on avoiding sin completely in this month, by His divine mercy, we will be able to continue that throughout the year, and we will, or we would have been then starting on the path towards divine proximity seriously. In other words, that'll be a step that if we take in this month, then God will help us to continue that after the month of Ramadan, and we would have started on the path towards His proximity if we do that. Ma'asiyah of God, disobedience of God, is one which, or something that prevents us from progressing. Sometimes people want to progress spiritually, and what they do is they go and ask about mustahabbat, the different acts of worship that they can do, whether it's fasting, recommended fasts, or it is prayers, or it is dhikr, or it is charity, or whatever else it may be. But they're not able to control themselves when it comes to a time where they come across a scene that they can commit a sin and they can be disobedient to the Divine. Whatever it is, in my relationship with my parents, with my spouse, with my children, in society, scenes that I'm not supposed to look at, words that I'm not supposed to say, work that I'm not supposed to engage in, and so on and so forth, whatever it is. These situations arise and I'm not able to control myself. And when I want to be spiritual, what do I ask for? Recommended acts. That will not be effective. What's going to cause all these acts to be effective is for one to quit sin completely. So that's why we're asking here at the beginning of this dua on the sixth day of the month of Ramadan, for God to help us avoid sin. So the first thing is trying to avoid sin. The other thing to make note of here is that the Imams are telling us when we engage in the process of developing ourselves and self-purification, the first step, which is the toughest to start, which is to avoid sin, in that process we need God's help and we need to ask. In other words, first we need to realize that we need God's help. We try doing that thinking that we're going to do it on our own. We need God's help. We need to come to that realization. And when we come to that realization, asking for His help. I was having a conversation with a brother the other day. The words he mentioned were really nice. He said he was struggling with a sin to quit. And after so many years, one day he felt like, this is it and I can't have this anymore. So I asked God, God, help me quit. And he said, it was as though I was hearing this call in my head. All these years, I was just waiting for you to ask. You never asked. You didn't ask for help. And once you ask, God helps you. Yes, it's not going to be overnight that temptation is going to go away. But only through His help this is going to be possible, and we need to ask for His help. And if we fail to abide by His law and we do commit sin, we need to repent again and again ask Him for help and support to be able to avoid that sin. If we do this gradually, not overnight, gradually, we will be able to commit, to avoid all sin, avoid committing any sin. Now, the language also that is mentioned in this dua, in this first passage, is really nice. Oh Allah, don't leave me alone. We have another dua, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we ask and we say to Him, Ilahi or Allahumma, la takilni ila nafsi tarfata aynin abada. Don't leave me to myself, even for the blink of an eye. Don't, for a split second, in other words, don't leave me alone. Don't leave me to myself. I need your help. Always. That feeling is very effective in helping us and allowing us to progress spiritually. The second passage says, وَلَا تَضْرِبْنِي بِالسِّيَاطِ نَقْمَتِكَ. There's, it's a bit poetic here. It says, don't hit me, don't strike me with a lash of your naqma. Naqma is a hardship, as we mentioned in one of the previous du'as. It's a hardship that is based on or due to an action that we have done which is wrong, and it raises the wrath of the Divine. Not every hardship is a naqma. It says, oh Allah, don't strike me, don't lash me with the whip of your naqma. Right. Well, why would he want to do that? And we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to do that. The naqma of Allah isn't something that will be given to someone who is doing good. God doesn't just decide that this good servant is now going to be lashed with that naqma. A person needs to be deserving of that. The actions that we perform, the deeds that we commit, the acts that we perform, the sins we commit are deserving of naqma. And we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, admitting that I deserve it, but we're asking Him, please don't. Spare me. Help me. The other thing maybe that one can make note of in this passage here is the type of language that is used. As we will see at the end, especially of this dua, there's a touch of extra, in my words, spirituality here. It's a touchier dua, where I'm referring to God's wrath as Him lashing me with His naqma, okay? With His naqma, something that comes from His wrath. In other words, I dislike seeing your wrath. All right. Now you might think that, okay, so what's so touchy about that? The language of it, I'm not sure if I can convey this in English with the translations, but the language of it in Arabic sounds, has this eloquence that is coming from someone that is speaking to his or her beloved. And the reason why the naqma is painful and they don't want it is not because of the hardship, but it's because it's the wrath of God. Someone who loves God doesn't want to see God being angry at them and pushing them away from Him, because that's what that means. Naqma means you're not getting close, you're moving further away. That's seriously a lash. That's a lash. Amir al-Mu'mineen says in Dua al-Kumayn, in the hereafter, I can take the fire, I can take the burning, I can take all of that, but I can't take being away from you. That's the lash. That's what hurts. That's the pain. That's what causes burning for someone who is a lover. لا تضربني بسياط نقمتك وزحزحني فيه من موجبات سخطك. Whatever I've done that I deserve that naqma, don't hit me with it. In other words, don't push me away because of my deeds. Allow me to get closer. And not only that, but help me keep away from what will cause your wrath. The sins that I've committed already have caused that wrath and naqma. I deserve it, but I'm asking you, please, don't hit me with that. I'm also asking, from now onwards, help me avoid doing things that will be raising your wrath. And it says, بِمَنِّكْ. Do all of this through, again, your mercy, your kindness. I don't deserve this. Your kindness is going to give this to me. وَأَيَادِيكْ. Your help and your support, I don't deserve this. Again, then the attribute that is used in some of the previous, or pretty much most of the previous du'as, is referring to God's mercy and Him being the most merciful and so on and so forth. Here it's different, and that's why we said there are words here that show that this du'a is a bit touchier for someone who's trying to develop a more intimate relationship with Allah. يَا مُنْتَهَى رَغْبَةِ الرَّاغِبِينَ. The one that is the climax, or the final want and desire of those who desire Him. Okay. In other words, God is the one that anyone who knows Him, anyone who has raghbah in Him, the greatest wish they have is God Himself. God Himself. He's what one would wish for, would want to have and get to, that proximity that is mentioned, being with Him. He is the one that whoever desires and wishes to be with anyone, the climax of that, the highest peak of anyone's desire, is to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, obviously, for those who can understand that. Some of us, unfortunately, probably myself included, we are so busy with the temptations of this dunya, and we have gotten our taste buds so accustomed to the flavor of this dunya that we can't even feel at this point what the proximity of the divine feels like and what it means and how that's the greatest thing to desire to be. That's the end. That's the final wish. That's the greatest wish that anyone can have. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a touch of that and to help us move towards that and arrive there and become one of those that has reached the proximity of the divine, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.